Allow me to add my word of thanks for this beautiful service today and for all the hands that went together, the saints of Ascension Lutheran Church, for the wonderful lunch and for all the help that we have putting this all together for all of our benefit. The ministries that we will be blessing today and the oils you will take will be blessing hundreds of people throughout this year. So as we worship together, think about the many thousands of people across the synod that will be blessed in the coming year. Multiply every one of us by all the people that we touch in our daily ministries. A special thank you to Pastor Scott Jones for his help and assistance today in getting us all ready, and I thank you for your hospitality. And to both of our deans, Dean Ben Colahan and Dean Gabby Schroeder, thank you. And thanks for working together, and you're going to do it again for the gatherings, aren't we? We're going to keep that going. For Luke and for Margaret, our musicians, thank you so much. We need our music. For our most excellent sacristan, Dana Maroney, that nice Italian name. And for Shane and Andrea, Shane in the sound booth and Andrea on the computer and the technology. Thank you all. We all come together to do this service. During my time as Bishop of the Southeastern Pennsylvania Synod, which for those who don't know is the greater metropolitan Philadelphia area, I served as a trustee on one of our 26 ELCA Lutheran colleges. It was Muhlenberg College in Allentown. And I often sat next to a man who owns a company that sells rare essences for perfume and for other products. One night at dinner, I asked him about his travels to find these exotic essential oils. He shared with me that agarwood oil is the most expensive essence in the world. It's worth more than gold. It's harvested from an endangered species of trees that grow only in a few areas in Southeast Asia and in China. This oil is extremely penetrating. A few drops can permeate a whole room and last for days. It costs $2,000 an ounce. So I told him, trying to make small talk, about our tradition of chrism services, and I proudly told him that I put in essence, bergamot, in the chrism healing blessing catechumenate oils. He asked me where I got the bergamot, and I said, Whole Foods. And, you know, that's like a half an ounce is like $17. It's not cheap. But he gave me a look like, oh, really? Not that there's anything wrong with bergamot at Whole Foods. I'm just saying. The reason I'm telling you this is that about a month later, he sent me a package with four small bottles of real bergamot and two bottles, one of frankincense, and one of myrrh. Oh, you know that every Epiphany of Three Kings, I always volunteer to preach, and then I bring the frankincense and myrrh, and I bless everybody with that too. So I was thrilled. The oils we're blessing today is not nearly as expensive as the essential oils of agarwood or tuberose or champaca, he told me the other ones. But that does not mean that the oils we bless today for your use in your ministry to bless others is any less valuable. I know there's nothing magical about bergamot in the olive oil, and I got pure virgin oil, of course, for our service today. But I want you to know that this year and for years to come, this special oil and this special bergamot, which was an unexpected gift to bless the people of God in our ministries, I borrowed some for this from the Southeastern Pennsylvania Synod because Kim Lehman sent me a big vial, when I retired. So when I was back home in Philadelphia, I went to the Southeast Penn Synod office and I said, "Could I have some of that bergamot? Because I need to do 5 services for the Sierra Pacific Synod." So they gave me some. I promised I'd help return it. But the man that gave me the bergamot to begin with, I told him I was serving here this year in the Sierra Pacific Synod, and he's sending us, was supposed to be delivered before I came, a kilo of bergamot for this synod and for your next bishop going forward. For any of you who don't have time to Google, that's 35 ounces of the pure bergamot. There's something very soothing about that balm in Gilead that heals our sin-sick souls, that brings a blessing both to the receiver and the giver. I experienced this in a profound way the time I had been invited to preach at Greaterford Prison, the largest maximum security prison in the state of Pennsylvania. It was one of the most unforgettable and moving ministries of my moments in my ministry as bishop. It was not my first time visiting Greaterford Prison, but it was the first time I was asked to preach. So as I stood there before a gathering of 300 men, I knew that they were there for the same reason the Greeks went to see Philip. Sir. Ma'am. We wish to see Jesus. They longed to see Jesus. That Sunday morning, as I listened to them sing, and they had a band. They had a band that practiced every weekend. I read scripture, and as they preached what I hoped was a gospel message. And think to yourself, if you were asked to preach at a maximum prison, what would you say? That was kind of a challenge I hadn't experienced before. But I knew I was in the presence of the Holy Spirit, even in that supposedly God-forsaken place of a penitentiary. If you've ever visited a prison, you know the ungodly noise, clanking gates and slamming of sliding doors, ricocheting off of glazed walls. It's a very noisy place. The sound, the even voice levels are jarring. They jar the senses and they echo. There's something very dehumanizing about the process of entering a prison, feeling your freedom and your personhood stripped away, even if you're not there to be imprisoned. But I had already met with some of the men the week before, so I didn't go in cold, with a delegation from our synod to discuss prison life and how to help with the reentry process when people are released from prison. It was there because our synod was starting a new mission called Living Gospel, a ministry to help the formerly incarcerated re-enter civilian life, not as ex-cons, but as returning citizens. So the prison chaplain, who was Lutheran, informed me that at the Catholic service, the priests always celebrate Holy Communion, but at the Protestant service, the Eucharist is not shared because there's so many denominations present and they're not very sacramental. Okay. But most of the time, he said, the Baptist and Pentecostal visiting pastors issued an altar call after the service. Our Lutheran chaplain said something like this to me: the men who come to this service want to be in church. They need comfort, they need guidance, they need hope, they need blessing. They don't also need an altar call. They're already here. So I decided right there and then, and it was after Kim Lehman gave me the first vials of oil, that after the service, instead of an altar call, Pastor Davenport, who is now our new bishop of the Southeast Penn Synod, Bishop Davenport, and I would share a blessing of oil. And since I had recently received the expensive bergamot, I was happy to share it first with the men at Greaterford Prison. The end of the service, I invited all who wanted to come forward to receive the oils in the same way you will be receiving them today. This was, as you can imagine, a new experience for them. It was not the sacrament of Holy Communion, which they weren't really used to anyway. Holy Communion, of course, where we taste and consume the bread and wine, but it was a physical blessing nevertheless. No, on this day they could feel and smell the infused oil on their foreheads and take the scent away with them for the rest of the day. Approximately 250 of the men came forward. They waited patiently and quietly, three deep, waiting for a prayer and a blessing. We put healing oil on every single head. We asked their name first, and if they had a particular prayer request that day. It took 40 minutes to move through the process of blessing and listening to each one, laying on hands and praying. It was a powerful and it was honestly exhausting for me because I knew I was seeing the face of Christ in every single person. Jesus, child of God. Jamal, child of God. Derek, child of God. Today in this service and in the other four of our conferences, and yesterday was the first in Reno, Nevada, uniting and blessing pastors, deacons, and the baptized in our vocation, we remember again the dehumanizing events and the public humiliations Jesus suffered on the way to the cross. Arrest, insult, betrayal, denial, torture, abandonment, death. And yet we believe and we teach that humanity is regained again and again, even in behind prison walls. A person can reclaim their status as a child of God, even in those places where society has told us God can never be. The men at Graterford longed to hear the word of God and eagerly listened to the message that day, yearning for any kind of personal connection and redemption. A more grateful Christian community I have never preached for. And they had all day anyway, so that nobody was going to Target or Sunday dinner or brunch or anything like that. The presence of God was as palpable that day as the scent of the bergamot. Psalm 36, your love, O Lord, reaches to the heavens and your faithfulness to the clouds. Psalm 141, let my prayer rise before you as incense, the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. So I brought with me vials of bergamot infused oil with the bergamot, this precious one that was given as a gift to the Southeastern Pennsylvania Synod, which I stole, but to which I will also replenish with the bergamot that will be given to the Sierra Pacific Synod. Today we bless these oils to bless you in your ministry. What you have and what you bring in the name of Jesus is priceless. Some of you here today are seeking healing for yourself or someone you love. Some here are sick. Some are recovering. Some are hopeful. Some are afraid. Some are angry. Some of us are exhausted, and some of us need deep, sin-sick soul healing. Come for your blessing. Come for your healing. God already knows what you need. Like the perfume of essential oil, God's love permeates a hospital room, a cell block, a church sanctuary, a pastor's office, a baptismal font, an altar rail, and even the spiky head of a confirmand, and even a synod territory, the Sierra Pacific Synod territory. How precious is your unfailing love, O God. More precious than a 2,001-ounce bottle of the essence of agarwood. Paul reminds the church in Corinth, God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, things that are not, to reduce to nothing things that are, so that no one may boast in the presence of God. I knew that day at Graterford Prison I was being shown what is possible when God chooses what is weak and despised to shame the strong. It was an incredibly humbling experience to be in the presence of people who obviously already knew that God had not abandoned them. So no matter what their sins and in spite of their crimes, they clung to the promise of God, confident that they themselves were more precious than the oil of agar wood. So have you ever had those kind of experiences in your ministry when you suddenly realize you're standing by a dying person's bedside? And some of us have actually been there when someone's taken their last breath. That causes you to gasp, does it not? Or crying, holding a crying baby at the baptismal font, or blessing the unhoused on the street, or blessing the hands of the podiatrist who work with the unhoused. In those moments, God's grace is being completely poured out, completely undeserved, and completely free. He is the source of your life in Christ Jesus, says Paul, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, in order, as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. Yet we who are on the other side of the cross, we can proclaim with complete confidence what God is doing among us in your congregation, in your place of ministry, in your neighborhood, in your Christian communities, all over the world. We are all called to not only do word and sacrament and service, but also to spread those dabs of grace all over, every day, wherever people are put in front of us by God. And what we have embraced for ourselves is to be shared for others, and it generously and pricelessly. Like Mary soothing the fragrant oil on Jesus' feet, its scent filling the room. It was the prayer of gratitude, of humble service, and abiding love. That's what God has offered through you in your ministry. The healing balm of baptism, the feast of love at communion, the prayers, the touch, the listening ears, the compassionate word. These are the gifts that are so freely given to us, and in our vocation, we are called to share with everyone but the whole world, participating in God's mission of love. So remember today, it is given and shed for them, yes, but also for us. We need it too. Put on your own mask before you go help other people on the plane. There's no amount of money that can ever buy these gifts which we share every day. They're priceless, like the one who poured out his life for us. May God's grace be poured on you, and may your ministry be a blessing to everyone God sends to you.